Good morning, Lee.
Hi there, Tara.
It's a form of cheating. Not actual cheating, but sort of cheating. You're going out shopping Black Friday, right?
Okay.
Are you going to buy stuff on Black Friday and not tell your significant other? One out of three people are planning to secretly buy themselves something on
Black
Friday. Oh, you
mean buy something for yourself?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But all not right. tell your significant other. It's a secret something.
Well, maybe you're getting something that they're going to give you.
No, it's just for you.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
The average American, according to this study survey, has $353 worth of stuff they've bought on past Black Fridays and hidden from their partner.
Well, it would depend on the item. If this is something that you would not want your spouse to know about, I think that is cheating. But if it's like just something you decide to get for yourself, big deal.
The most common things we buy and hide are clothes, jewelry, phones. How do you hide a phone? Cameras and other high-tech gadgets.
Well,
so anyway,
kind of hard to hide the phone because you know every month you got to pay that data fee. So
yeah, absolutely. And then she's like, "Wow, that's a nice flashy phone you got there. Did you steal that?" Meanwhile, I will never forget the survey. This was the funniest thing. I was like, "Do you remember when there was a controversy? Gosh, I was in Myrtle Beach at the time, so that's better be like 5 to 7 years ago, something like that." Doing radio, when retailers admitted that a lot of them were beginning to open up, like extend their Black Friday into Thursday,
right,
which is Thanksgiving, and like they had all these reasons that they had done consumer surveys. You know, did you want them to open? Blah blah blah. Do you want to shop? That the internal surveys had shown the number one reason people wanted to shop on Thanksgiving was not to get a jump on the sales, although that was like number two. The number one reason was because they wanted to get away.
Yeah.
They want to get out of the house. Like they didn't mind 3 hours of, you know, fun and frivolity with the family, but like anything over that.
There's a limit.
There was a limit.
Too much of a good thing.
Yeah, please God, let me out of here. You know? And so retailers being good capitalists are like, okay, come on over to our house or our store and spend some money. And so that was the main reason retailers were doing it. It was not in other words, it wasn't gonna make a big difference in their bottom line to open the stores earlier. That wasn't the main reason. It was so people could escape in their store and then buy
stuff. Was just a community service.
It was a community
of course, yeah.
service.
And how altruistic of them.
Died laughing reading that. You know what I mean?
Like,
and so anyway, piggybacking on this, will you go out shopping on Thanksgiving this year? Are you planning to ditch your family for like 2 to 7 hours this Thanksgiving to hit the stores? Yeah. According to the survey, 71% of people say they're going to do some shopping this weekend. Okay. All right, let's look at it from the Greenville angle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
71% are going to do some shopping. That's not good. Stay off of Woodruff Road.
Well, 100% of that 71% will be on Woodruff Road.
Yeah, they'll all be there. They won't be going anywhere.
No.
They'll be able to sit in the car and look at the stores.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe if they pull over and park, they could walk to them, but yeah.
No.
Yeah. 71%. Well,
the only shopping going on in my household on Thanksgiving Day may be from a laptop or phone, but that's going to be the extent
of it. I know, me too.
That's just, I'm sorry.
Once I eat all that food, I just cannot get up.
And I got to do it twice. I got to do my side of the family, then my wife's side of the family. So we've got lunch and dinner planned and two turkeys to smoke and miles to go before we sleep and all that kind of stuff.
Are you doing this? Are you smoking the turkeys yourself this year?
Yeah,
are you doing it
again? Yeah, absolutely.
One of these years, I'm going to bring you a turkey and have you smoke it for me.
All right.
Yeah, I should do that. I keep asking you for a YouTube video. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a long and arduous process.
No. You'd have to cut it.
You know, it's kind of boring. I mean, you know, you set up the charcoal and you set up the drip pan and you oil up the bird and put all the spices and stuff on it and you stick it out there and then, you know, about 4 hours later, it's done.
Maybe I'll send Rambo Loco over to watch you do it. Yeah. So you know how I could get you to do the video, though, right? I could pitch it to the management because any kind of live action video, they get in the lather over. They get so excited, right?
Actually, what Rambo Loco could do is maybe a few days before Thanksgiving come over. We've got some wild turkey out on the farm there. I don't allow hunting generally, but we would maybe he could bag a turkey. And if he knows how to dress it, we could smoke your own turkey that was actually on the farm.
Oh, that'd be cool. You know, unless there's any pests or I don't know. I once had a deer my brother-in-law killed, and I was feeding it to some of the rescue dogs that I had, and my vet found out and went, don't eat that.
Why?
Because he's a vet. He sees what happens when you eat that. That meat has like pests and stuff. Like, you really have to be careful with it.
Well, if you cook it, it shouldn't be that big a deal.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know.
Were you feeding raw deer meat to the dogs?
No, it was cooked.
Okay, well, then it shouldn't be a problem.
Just having been through vet school.
Listen, I know plenty of deer hunters. They're well fed on venison. Well, if there was any issue with it, I think they would know.
Well, speaking of something you would have an issue with, every once in a while, the left helpfully admits what they actually stand for. And this was stunning. The mayor of New York. Did you see this?
Classic.
Bill de Blasio. Because there's something really profound about what he said here. Yep. It's not just that we disagree with it. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. He actually said that if he could, he did. He called for an end to private property. All of it. He feels he should control it because he's smarter, better, and better looking than you. Here's what he said, quote, our legal system is structured to favor private property, insisting that people, quote, people would like to have the city government be able to determine which building goes where, how high it will be, and who gets to live in it, and what the rent will be. He added, if I had my druthers, the city government would determine every single plot of land, how development would proceed, and there would be very stringent requirements around income levels, rents, and who would live there. It's a world I'd love to see.
When you take the charred remains of the deed from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, right.
That'll be the only way.
That's going to happen,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. What is remarkable about this? People do not realize in communist Russia, after the Russian Communist Revolution, what they did is exactly what he's describing, and it was horrific. They outlawed private property, just as de Blasio wants to do. And so if you were a rich family, a middle-class family, they would look at the number of homes in your house, which was not your house anymore, and they would the number of rooms in the house. Didn't matter if there were bedrooms or not, living room, whatever. And they would say, okay, you've got, you know, 8 rooms in your house. You're getting 8 people living in your house. They go move in. They'd let you keep one of the rooms in your own home. They would move the other people in. And if you've ever read, you know, novels from that time, Ayn Rand wrote one because she actually lived through the Russian Revolution and described having strangers, including dangerous people, moved into their home by the Russian government, people they were afraid of. So they had to keep themselves locked in just the one room they had access to. They had to share their kitchen with the people. People would steal food out of their icebox. Like stuff like, you know, like that. I mean, that's what
sounds like our break room.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. It wasn't as nicely appointed, I'm sure.
No. So that's definitely not. So, I mean, when he's talking about, that's exactly what the Russian government did. They just decided your property was their property and they doled it out. You could not remove these people from your house. It didn't matter if they threatened you physically, if they actually attacked you, it didn't matter. They got to live in your house. That's what communism looks like. And when he said this, this just reminded me of Ayn Rand's book, We the Living, which is basically her biography of her time living through the Russian Revolution and what it was like on the inside of Russia at that time. It was an absolutely fascinating book.
I wish that we could just get these socialist communists to understand that if you like anything about this country, if you like your lifestyle, if you like the way things are going, or you know, maybe you don't like the president, you don't like his policies and all that kind of stuff, but if you enjoy the culture and the technology and things we have, I got news for you. Under socialism, under communism, none of this would exist. There would be no Elon Musk. There would be no Jeff Bezos. There would be no Bill Gates. That stuff would not happen. It would not exist. All of this happened because of a capitalistic form of capitalism in this country, the capitalistic system, the free market system, approaching a free market system. But this is what happens when you have people who can spend capital the way they want to, when you can have private property, when citizens do have the opportunity to buy land, to buy real estate, to possess things on their own, and then to then improve them and spend their money on it and to protect it. This is what happens. If you want communism and socialism, you can kiss every bit of this goodbye. There will be no further progress, period. It does not happen. Tell me what classic car has come out of Russia. Nothing.
Well, there was the Yugo, but that was a piece of crap.
That wasn't even Yugo. That was from Yugoslavia.
Never mind.
But anyway, yeah. But nothing of a capitalistic or entrepreneurial thing has ever come out good out of Russia. They built great warplanes, but that was because the government made them.
Right.
But, it's all this stuff, folks. You know, I see people who are railing against capitalism and big corporate this and big corporate that. Folks, if it were not for these corporations, and I know they don't always do everything right, and I know that there's things that go on, there's no perfect system, but this stuff would not exist without a constitutional republic and capitalism that we have in this country, period.
And, you know, as the way I was just talking about de Blasio, the mayor of New York, saying, hey, listen, I want to control every piece of property. I want to decide who lives there. I want to determine the rent. That's exactly, again, what communist Russia did. I mean, go read We the Living someday. What an eye-opener on communism, the true horror of it. When you have a government moving people you don't know into your home to live with you because it's their property now and not yours, and they dictate literally who off the street lives with you, you've not just lost your property rights, you've lost your privacy.
There's no
rights.
Freedom and
there
liberty.
Is
Look what
no
these people
privacy.
Want to do. They want to take away your guns. They want to tell you what you can and cannot say. They want to determine who you are around. They want your property. Where's the freedom and liberty? Period. There's none. That's what these people stand for. Totalitarianism.
Oh, by the way, speaking of totalitarianism, I told you the other day that Germany, having learned absolutely nothing from the Nazi regime and World War II, has decided to repeat its past mistakes and launch a secret police force.
Wonderful.
To spy just on some really dangerous political people, just on the extremists, you understand? Hey, right-wingers, people who oppose unmitigated migration, people like that. That's all. It's just going to be a couple of people on the fringes. And guess what? Hadn't even been a week, Lee. Wait till you hear who they're actually spying on. Let me give you a hint. It wasn't who they said.
Big surprise.
All right, let's jump on the line with Thomas in Easley. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I just got back from Cuba, and we're talking about socialism. I got a few things to tell you. The people, this is my second time there. Last year we were in Laos, and the government owns everything, and like five generations live in one house. Now, in Havana, when Castro took over, he took all the buildings and gave them to friends, and they turned them into rooms where families, multiple families, live. And everybody makes the same amount of money. And the only people that really make any extra money are the taxi cab drivers. And the town we were in was Rancherlo. It looks like Ranchero, but it's Rancherlo. And we were on a mission trip. And the people, you know, everybody either works for the government, gets something from the government, but hardly anybody has anything extra. So that's what socialism does, and there's no incentive there. I had a young man come up to me, and I sound like I'm preaching. I had a young man come up to me and said, "What's it like to work and get paid? I've never worked."
Wow.
A young man in his 20s. He says, "I would love to work and get paid."
Why was it because he couldn't get
there's no
job?
No job.
Okay, so it's just you work for the government.
You work for the government. Everybody's. You go to like the Social Security office there, and everyone makes the same amount. Maybe some people make more if they're a government worker, but it's all the same. And a friend of mine, Randall, he gave $20 to a woman, and she almost broke down in tears because that's more than she made in a month.
Wow.
And so we worked on churches and it was an experience. People are happy, but, you know, there's no incentive there. So that's what socialism is.
But, James, it's all so wonderfully fair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's fair. When they tell you it's fair, it will be fair. You'll be all equally broke with no hope for the future.
No hope. And let me tell you something. One woman got sick, Rhonda, and in the church there was a doctor. And we didn't even know she was a doctor. She came over there. She worked in a hospital. She didn't make any more money than anybody else. The only thing that the people had in common there that we loved is they loved the Lord.
And is that allowed now in Cuba?
It is now. You cannot build the church, but you can build an existing building. But you can't build out. You can only build up. Which doesn't make any sense, but that's the way it is.
Well, nothing makes much sense in a communist country, but yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought I'd just share that with you.
Wow. Wow. And so, you know, if you vote for the crazy ex-girlfriend, you support her, Ocasio-Cortez, she could bring such poverty here and we would all be wonderfully equal, Thomas.
Oh, yes. That's what they want.
Except party members. They always live in luxury. But, I mean, everybody else.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
After they steal everything that is not theirs and which they never themselves could create. Oh, of course, in the name of the poor, they steal it, but they don't actually share it very well. By the way, you know, if you ever read that book, We the Living, if you ever want to look at what communism looks like on the inside, it is a remarkable account. It's one of my favorite books. And one of the things that was interesting was after the Russian Revolution, which they got poor people to do a lot of the fighting and dying in, the revolution for communism. One of the things that was interesting was literally the riches in the country changed hands, like overnight. Limousines, you know, upscale apartments, you know, rich house, you know, housing for rich people, all was taken from the owners of that because, you know, they had been middle class and up, and that wasn't fair. And instead of being given to the poor, who were led to believe that they would inherit it from the rich and the middle class after fighting the Russian Revolution for communism, it wasn't given to them. Nobody cared about them. You know who moved in? Members of the party. Communist Party in Russia. Yep. And so they could be seen, and you read this, you would see the, you know, the limos, the high-end cars, the nice places suddenly just changed hands overnight. And members of the party were jetting around in them. They were the only people who weren't starving, too. Everybody else was just barely getting enough food to exist. In fact, it was really interesting. They would order the clothes for the women. And they would always come in late. And Russia's freezing. So, you know, you very much valued your stockings. And there literally was five or six different prints of dress. So everybody in the country had essentially the same dress, the women, except it came in, you know, like five or six different colors. If you could even get the one dress, you had to stand online to do that. And they had pairs of stockings. And once your one pair of stockings went, I mean, you could darn them to try to keep warm, but that was all you could do. And that was it. That was all you had. And the only people who were not dressed like that were members of the party, like high-ranking members of the party. They had Western clothes and Western, you know, riches and Western, you know, things, comforts, but nobody else did. So when you actually read about a communist country, it's fascinating to see that all it does is make, you know, 95% of the country desperately poor and 5% completely rich off everything they stole. That's how it works every single time. You know what's fascinating, too? There's a wonderful man who owns a vineyard, actually, up in Tryon. I know he listens to the show. He runs it with his daughter. Great guy. And he was telling me that, you know, in college, he was a communist. Sandinista. I think it was a Sandinista. Yeah, anyway, he went and he, you know, so he was all big into the fight, right? Because they were going to take the banana plantations and stuff from the rich. So he watched them, the soldiers, they took them from the rich, and that was good. They were supposed to distribute to the poor. But the party wasn't so good at the distribution part. Party members like to keep stuff for themselves. He became so disillusioned, he came back and voted for Reagan. Became a card-carrying conservative, having seen communism up front, up close. So, I mean, this is how it goes every time. Communism, socialism, it's just a scheme for the party to steal everything that's not nailed down. Oh, by the way, a whole new bucket, as Devin Nunes described it. He's the soon-to-be former head of the House Intel Committee.
Right.
Lee. And really the only person attempting to hold the deep state responsible for their many crimes. Has just announced a fourth bucket of classified emails, showing that the FBI, members of the FBI, we don't know who, deliberately conspired to lie to the FISA court. In other words, they didn't just accidentally commit perjury, which is a crime, by forgetting to mention, you know, really important things like Hillary paid for the dossier and it wasn't real and they hadn't verified it, you know, things like that. Incredibly, asking for a warrant that, you know, via Carter Page, it was a two-step warrant. So what that means is you can spy on Page and anybody within two touches beyond him. So that was Trump, everybody in Trump's circle. It was a whole campaign. She literally had a weaponized Democrat-leaning federal justice system, FBI and DOJ, that had worked hard to get Hillary off the hook for her crimes, committing more crimes so as to be able to spy on the president and steal the first 2 years of his administration. Well, we've never had this before. We knew they lied. We knew they did not fully disclose to the FISA court. We know they lied under penalty of perjury that they had verified all the stuff in the dossier. They had not. We also know that they did not tell the FISA court that Hillary's campaign had put it together, that it was a political hit job. Well, we now have, according to Devin Nunes, he's got classified emails with the FBI going back and forth in DOJ strategizing about lying to the FISA court. They got them dead to rights. But you can't see them.
Oh, okay.
The new fourth bucket, this is Devin Nunes' quote, the new fourth bucket that we've been asking to be declassified now is, for months, we've been reviewing emails between the FBI, DOJ, and others that clearly show they knew about information that should have been presented to the FISA court, he said. Nunes added that House Speaker Paul Ryan has been pressuring the Justice Department to hand over the emails and make as many public as possible. As has been a point of frustration in the past, Nunes complained that the DOJ redacted some of the information, even though it's in a classified setting. See, all these guys on the Intel Committee, they have the security clearances to read this stuff. There's nothing, no reason to keep it from them. They're supposed to oversee these departments. Yet they still won't turn over the full, you know, the full unredacted email. But anyway, so we got more crimes here. And bizarrely, new possible crimes. Bizarrely, the president's still not moving to declassify this stuff. And election's over. Were we not told we would see the FISA application?
If this is all about an investigation of a domestic situation, which is purely political,
yeah,
how could it be classified as top secret?
Don't know.
It's not national security.
Nope.
It's personal security for those involved.
Well, it's top secret because we can't have anybody know how our deep state actually operates to help Democrats get elected and punish Republicans.
We shall not know the depth of the deep state.
No. Well, here's what's really frustrating is this is just now coming to light. Devin Nunes is about to lose control of the committee as the Democrats come in. This will be absolutely hushed up. I mean, it's looking to me like unless something changes, they're going to get away with it.
Well,
and I can't understand for the life. The only recourse Trump has at this point is to declassify this stuff and demand that a Sessions Free Justice Department does something about it. These are crimes. So, I mean, but he won't. So, I mean, and I don't know why he won't declassify it.
Does this really surprise you?
Yeah, it surprises me he won't declassify. I mean, he even announced he was going to declassify it, then changed his mind. It's bizarre. But declassify the FISA stuff. He should declassify this, too. What, it doesn't surprise you?
No, not at all.
Why?
Because the deep state is going to take care of itself. And even though you may have folks on the fringes who are trying their best to do something about it, it's just like the Benghazi hearings. I felt deep down in my heart that we would never get to the bottom of it. And I think that we did sort of get close to the bottom of it, but no one has ever had to take a responsibility or accountability for it, for the fact that the administration lied to the American people for 2 weeks about what caused the death of a U.S. ambassador and three other U.S. citizens. And then that there was something that could have been done to stop it while it was going on, and that for whatever reason, nothing was done. And nobody has been held accountable for that.
Oh, and I'm not at all surprised that they got away with it. But what I am surprised about is, honestly, Trump. I mean, I don't know. Here's from the Daily Wire on this, okay? Because people are baffled. I mean, you got the deep state dead to rights. It's not Trump saying that. It's Nunes. Nunes has read this stuff. This is new evidence the FBI conspired basically to commit fraud. Falsify charges against somebody before a court to get a warrant to spy on them. I mean, that is so over the top. Banana Republic. Insanity. I mean, any local prosecutor who did it would not only be fired, they'd go to prison. You don't get to manufacture evidence to allow you to spy on your political enemies. That's like China. You know, it's like Russia. That's not here. Trump explained that declassifying the documents himself could be perceived as tampering with the Russia investigation, and said he also had concerns from key allies. Instead, Trump said he would leave it to the DOJ Inspector General to review the documents. Well, Devin Nunes said in this interview, the former head of the Intel agency, hey, listen, basically the Inspector General is a joke. He said if stuff goes to the Inspector General, it's where it goes to die. He's supposed to be the guy making sure the DOJ doesn't commit crime. And instead, he has interpreted his job as essentially to cover up crime for the DOJ. So, I mean, Devin Nunes flat out said if it goes to the Inspector General, it's dead. So I guess Trump's just not going to do anything about this.
Well, I guess.
I don't know.
The Department of Just Us.
Yeah, I guess. So whatever reason there is, and then the reason I can understand, I mean, I can see potentially the media. I mean, look, the media, there was a study out earlier this week, has convinced 2/3 of Democrats that that Trump colluded with the Russians to win the election. I mean, they believe that. So, I mean, I suppose if he declassified the evidence of their crimes, the media could twist it and confuse people.
Exactly.
Into, hey, Trump's meddling now. See,
yeah,
it's a
exactly.
coup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's why. But it would just seem to me if you had the facts in your hands and you could prove that they committed crimes, that you could bring them to justice.
What he's up against, though. He's got people who, if he releases it, will deny that he should have done it, that it is somehow obstructing justice. And you've got two-thirds of the American people who won't believe it and are not going to hear the true story anyway.
Texture rights is, I think it's the only hope we have, though, because, let's assume that what you're saying is correct, right? And I get it. There would be tremendous fallout. It would probably knock him down in terms of approval rating, right? Because the media would go gangbusters. Okay. Yeah. But the alternative long-term is you let him win. You let him get away with it, and they interfere in the next election. And we have what essentially is a secret police force.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to clean that place out. Unless you're thinking, I'm going to have to do it in term two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got to get to term two first.
Yeah. It just seems to me long term it would help him get to term two if people knew the truth. But maybe I am naive about that. I don't know. But yeah, so we got new information. Fourth bucket of classified emails show basically DOJ officials, FBI officials conspiring to withhold information from the FISA court. Again, these same officials signed the document. It says right under the name, under penalty of perjury, that they have reviewed the information they presented to the court and found it to be true. They lied. They conspired about lying. These are crimes.
Buckets of lies.
Buckets of crimes. By the people, this is what's so terrifying, who are supposed to be at the head of our, don't laugh, justice system. Justice. See, justice in America, I guess, is just for people who aren't them.
It's justice for just us.
Yeah. So anyway, the Democrats are taking over, and we're going to investigate a lot of stuff that is not crime in order to distract from what the actual crimes are. I hope there's a point to declassify this. The American people have to know this at some point. They have to. At least know it if we're not going to change it. Baffled as to why Trump won't do it. Anyway, I'm deeply disappointed, I got to say. I am. Texter writes, hey, Tara, the crimes communist leader Mao Zedong's great leap forward. Oh, the Chinese communist leader Mao Zedong's great leap forward movement saw 45 million die mostly from starvation. We do not want this in our country. We need to stand up and do something before it's too late. Oh, I have a feeling something would happen before it was too late. I don't know what, though. We'll see. Gonna jump on the line with Ron in Fountain Inn, who wants to talk about why Trump will not declassify the very obvious crimes committed by the deep state in now a new, whole new bucket of documents. Detailing deep staters, DOJ, FBI actually strategizing on how to break the law. Very exciting. Hey, Ron, what do you think?
Hey, well, I don't know for sure, and it's totally wild speculation. It could be anything in the world, but I come up with two ideas. Maybe one, he's holding this stuff back for ammunition, for whatever might come out of Mueller, or they have something ridiculous and embarrassing on him or someone in his family or some little penny ante charge that they could do on his family members or him. And, you know, it's a blackmail thing. I don't know. I mean,
that's
short of something like that. I can't understand why he's not doing it.
That's not a bad guess. In fact, Ronald, that has dawned on me. So here's the question you got to ask. You got to ask about that. Okay. If they do have something on Trump, something embarrassing, like you said, then you got to add, or maybe, you know, potentially illegal or possibly illegal. We're not sure. Surely they would have leaked it by now. I mean, everything else is leaked. Unless it hasn't leaked because they need it for leverage. In other words, they keep whatever they have on Trump, and Trump refuses, you know, does not classify their crimes. And it's a game of chicken. It's possible. I mean, at some level, it's beginning to look like the only thing that entirely makes sense, unless it's just as simple as if he declassifies this stuff, he's going to, you know, show the world their crimes. The media may still be powerful enough to cover that up, black it out, the crimes part, and scream, you know, interference, Russia collusion investigation. He's, you know, declassifying stuff. I don't know. But that has crossed my mind, Ronald. Nothing would surprise me at this point. It's just so hard to understand why, if he's got them dead to rights, he would leave them in office. Many of them are still in office. The FBI has refused to turn over the names of the agents who actually were involved with this FISA stuff. We still don't know all of them. They're still very much in office. I mean, Comey's gone, but the dozens of people who all worked on this, we don't know their names. We don't know anything about them. I mean, it's dangerous to leave them in place. God knows what they'll do in the next election if they're not punished. So, I mean, I don't know. There's just, it's important. It's confusing. I mean, I can't make it make sense. I can just tell you what's going on and hope that it changes for the better. Ben and Pauline, good morning.
Good morning. I've got something to say about that socialism, communism that you were talking about a little bit earlier. While I was at Spartanburg Tech, I'd use clips from the movie Dr. Zhivago to show the impact of communism on Russian society. So when Yuri Zhivago comes back from the front in late 1917, 1918, he goes to their apartment in Moscow, which is a very luxurious apartment and everything, and as he opens the front door, there stands 15 families in that one apartment, and they tell it it's more just. And at the same time, you take note as you watch what's taking place inside that apartment, the railings along the stairwell keep disappearing. Oh, something's happening. But anyway, I just thought that was always unique, and I definitely enjoy showing that part to my students out at Spartanburg Tech, Willis Tech to me.
You're actually teaching about the negatives of communism at Spartanburg Tech?
In my class.
And they let you do that?
Oh, I tell the true history.
Yeah, that's not going to be allowed. I can't imagine it'd be allowed for too much longer. We only have fake history.
Do what?
We only have fake history taught in this country. Ben and Pauline, will you keep that up? Educating young skulls full of mush. That's what they need, is to know what actually happened in this country and other countries so they can make rational decisions going forward. Texter writes on why Trump won't declassify this whole new set of documents showing war crimes by the deep state, collusion to lie to the FISA court. That's perjury at a minimum. It's fraud, too. But at a minimum, perjury is a felony. Trust me, Texter writes, they have nothing on Trump. It's his ace up his sleeve. I hope so. Texter writes, what would Trump be afraid of at this point? Maybe someday we'll find out. I don't know. Texter writes, maybe he's holding on to it before the 2020 elections to show how corrupt the Democrat Party is. Possibly, but he sure needed it in the midterm, didn't he? Lost the House. His agenda's not moving forward. I mean, that's a lot of withholding. I don't know. Texter writes, all Trump has to do is issue a general Christmas pardon for everyone involved in his campaign, from his sons on down, including the FBIers and, sadly, Hillary as well. I don't know. Texter writes, then declassify all the documents like South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Program. Texter writes, the reason why Trump won't declassify the documents is because they're threatening to indict his sons for meeting with the Russian lawyer. Possibly. They're going to indict him for something anyway, eventually. I mean, that's just the way it rolls. They'll make it up if they have to and bankrupt them, representing them. So, I mean, that's what they do. Texter writes, we've run out of text time. All right, we will be back for one more broadcast day of excellence tomorrow.